Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.
David Sterrett is the former chair of the New York Film Critics Circle and National Society of Film Critics, contributing writer at Cineast, film professor at the Maryland Institute College of Art, and, of course, Robin Hood Radio's very own critic. We are possessive. He joins us weekly. The films Juror No. 2, A Real Pain, and My Name is Alfred Hitchcock.
I'd like to start off by talking about Juror No. 2. And the single most interesting thing about Juror No. 2 is that it was directed by Clint Eastwood. And that guy is just unstoppable. He is 94 years old, and he obviously has lots of money and lots of fame and lots of celebrity. And there's no particular reason why he needs to keep working as a movie director, but he still is doing it. He's been making movies pretty steadily, even now well into his 90s. I probably think that Juror No. 2 is going to be the last one. But hey, I wouldn't want to predict that. I can almost imagine a 98-year-old Clint coming out with another movie. But anyway, Juror No. 2 is the one that we have right now. And it does not look like the work of an extremely old person. I'm not as old as Clint, but I'm pretty old. And I see this movie having quite a lot of energy to it. I'm not sure I could have done something with this amount of vigor, even at my age. Anyway, it was written by Jonathan A. Abrams, and it is basically a courtroom drama. A lot of it, not all of it, but a lot of it takes place in a courthouse. And what we have is our main character, whose name is Justin, and he is played by Nicholas Holt. And to his surprise, he is called to be a juror in a very big deal murder case. A man has been accused of murdering his girlfriend out on a lonely, well, not that lonely, but out on a roadway near a saloon on a horribly rainy and awful night. And he apparently murdered her in a rage and threw her body off a bridge down below. And anyway, that's what the case is about. And our main character, Justin, is a juror on this. Other main characters include the district attorney, who is played very, very well by Toni Collette, the defense attorney, who is played very well by Kiefer Sutherland. It's a good cast. And also one of the jurors played by J.K. Simmons. It's always fun to see him, and he plays the sort of older guy with the bald head, though he usually plays. And he's good. And then we have other members of the jury and so forth and so on. So that's the basic setup. So again, our main character is a juror in this trial, and I'm not going to give away any spoiler here, I hope, but he has reason to believe that the person who has been accused and who is on trial, probably for his life, probably did not commit the crime, or may not have committed the crime, or in fact almost certainly did not commit the crime. So, you know, somewhere in that spectrum is our main character, and yet there he is on the jury. So he turns out to be a holdout. Initially, the jury all votes 11-1 that the guy's guilty, but Justin is the holdout. And then little by little, we see opinions change as the jury deliberations proceed. And things happen along the way. They go to visit the scene of where this took place and the saloon where the couple had an argument just before the death occurred and so forth and so on. Also, another wrinkle in all of this is that our main character, Justin, is a recovering alcoholic, and a bit of the plot hinges on whether he might have been drunk the night that all this happened, because he, it turns out, was in the same saloon where the murderer, if he is the murderer, and the victim were. And actually, he is a recovering alcoholic, and he was not drunk that night, but are people going to believe that? So all this sort of thing figures into the drama. Basically, it's the story of a holdout on a jury who has a good reason to be holdout, and we see what happens over the course of the film as a whole. This movie has been compared with, and this is inevitable, a classic movie from the 1950s called 12 Angry Men, which starred Henry Fonda as the one holdout on a jury, which is trying a young person for a capital crime. I showed 12 Angry Men from time to time to college students of mine, and they always love it. So I really recommend 12 Angry Men. It's deservedly a real classic. And that's one of the movies that Juror Number 2 reminded me the most of. It also is an interesting movie because it has a kind of a moral dimension to it, not only because it's about a trial on a capital crime and it's about murder and redemption and recovering from an addiction and so forth and so on, but also because some of the moral issues that are raised in this movie are really ambiguous. And it makes the audience think these things through for themselves. I certainly was doing a lot of thinking just about moral and ethical issues while I was watching Juror Number 2. I think it's a very strong and interesting movie. It's not one of the great Clint Eastwood movies. It's not on the level of Million Dollar Baby or Unforgiven or Mystic River, which are masterpieces. I wrote a whole book about Clint Eastwood. It's called The Cinema of Clint Eastwood, Chronicles of America. And this is another Chronicle of America, this time focusing in on the legal system and the jury system and so forth and so on. It's not a masterpiece, but it's a really good, interesting, thoughtful, well-directed movie. And I'm delighted that Clint is still on the job. Next movie I'd like to talk about is somewhat different. It is called A Real Pain, and this is a film which is written and directed by the actor Jesse Eisenberg, who also plays one of the two main roles in the movie. So we have him doing a real Orson Welles or Charlie Chaplin here, writing, directing, and starring in a film. And it's a pretty good movie, A Real Pain, and the title has an interesting double meaning to it. So the two main characters are David, who is played by Jesse Eisenberg, and Benji, who is played by Kieran Culkin. These are such interesting actors, both of them. The main reason I was eager to see A Real Pain is to see those two just interact. They're just such interesting performers. So they are cousins, but they are really close in age. They were almost born at the same time years ago. They're now, of course, young men, and they are Jewish young men, and their grandmother recently died. And they have decided they want to make a little bit of a pilgrimage to the place where their grandmother lived back in Poland before she emigrated to the United States. So to do this, they join a tour. They are a member of a small tour group, just maybe about a half a dozen people, with a British guide. And they're going to be toured around a few places in Poland. And that, of course, means that we sitting in the audience are going to be going along with them. But at the end, they're going to leave the tour before the tour is finally over and go to the actual place where their grandmother lived before she left Poland and came to America. So that's what the movie is about. Now, as I said, the title, A Real Pain, has a real double meaning. One is that one of the two cousins is a real pain, or you could also see him as just sort of a wistful figure who needs a lot of help in life. But Benji talks too much. He talks inappropriately. He shares too much information. He gets overly emotional when there's really no call for it. He embarrasses his cousin David in front of the other members of the tour group. He irritates other members of the tour group, but not all that much, because clearly he is a troubled person, and clearly he has some psychological problems. And he's not outrageous. He's not doing horrible, crazy things. He just is sort of an inappropriate person in various ways. And it's interesting over the course of the movie to watch his cousin David try to deal with him, and he's known him all his life, sort of keep him in line as much as he can. But the fact is that poor Benji is something of a real pain. Not all the time, and some people in the tour group have a real sympathy for him, but he is a real pain. The second real pain, and this is a much bigger real pain, is the Holocaust. This is not a movie about the Holocaust, but it is a movie about visiting Poland and tracing the roots of a grandmother who, of course, escaped the Holocaust. And that was a very real danger, and it could have killed her. And if it killed her, then, of course, neither David nor Benji would have been born. But the memory of the Holocaust is still very much alive, I certainly think, in America. And it's really still alive in Poland. So that is definitely a background to the movie. And, of course, the tour group that David and Benji are members of. They visit a death camp, the Majdanek death camp. They tour it. They go into a gas chamber. And that, of course, means that we moviegoers do as well. So A Real Pain is, you have to call it a dramedy. Obviously, it has real dramatic elements with the troubled Benji, with the Holocaust background, and sometimes erupting right into the movie itself as a memory, a very real one. But it's also a comedy. The two brothers have a lot of sort of comic interactions. Some of Benji's inappropriate behaviors are sort of funny. And poor David's attempts to deal with them can be funny, too. And there's a little other stuff worked into the story as to David misses his wife and child back home. We turn out, discover eventually that Benji has a rather tragic event in his own fairly recent past, which we discover late in the film. And so that ends a little bit more drama to it. But I would have to call it a comedy drama, or what we nowadays call a dramedy. It's a very modest film. One friend of mine believes that it was almost filmed to look like a sort of a home movie or a tourist film. I'm not sure I agree with that. It looks more professional than that. But it's a very loose movie. It's a very light movie, except when we get the painful things like the Holocaust erupting into the movie. And it's a film that the characters just sort of, the main characters just sort of glide through. The secondary characters are always very secondary. And it's just sort of fun to watch them interact and come face to face, not so much fun, with real situations, real pains along the way. I had a good time watching A Real Pain. I didn't find it a major movie experience. It didn't change my life even for the rest of the day, but it's a nice movie and I had a good time watching it. I recommend A Real Pain. It's not, shall we say, a real pain. And lastly, I would like to turn to a new documentary. It's interesting because there seem to be documentaries about filmmakers coming out nowadays. Last week, I talked about a movie about the great films of the team of Michael Powell and Emmerich Pressburger. The movie's called Made in England, the films of Powell and Pressburger, narrated by Martin Scorsese, who loved their films. And this week, we have a new movie about Alfred Hitchcock, and it's called My Name is Alfred Hitchcock. And I wrote two books about Alfred Hitchcock, and I've always admired him. He's one of my absolute two or three favorite filmmakers of all time. I met him many, many years ago back in the 70s and got to talk with him a bit. And he's just a real favorite of mine. So I was very interested in this new documentary about Alfred Hitchcock. It's not a great documentary, but anybody who loves movies, anybody who loves Hitchcock movies will have a good time watching it. So the way My Name is Alfred Hitchcock is organized. Alfred Hitchcock made more than 50 movies over the course of his very long career, starting back in the silent movie days. So how are you going to arrange them, categorize them? Well, it's not a chronological film. Rather, the director of the film, that is the narrator of the film, who does Alfred Hitchcock's voice. The director of the film is Mark Cousins, who also wrote it. So Mark Cousins has arranged the film in the following way. There's six chapters in the movie. The first one is called Escape. Obviously, Hitchcock made thrillers. He made suspense movies. There's a lot of different kinds of escapes in them. And Cousins kind of broadens that category out to include some other things as well. The second one is called Desire. Okay, Hitchcock movies are full of romance. The third one is called Loneliness, a little bit more creative category maybe. The fourth one is called Time or Timing, crucial for a director of thrillers and suspense movies. The fifth part is called Fulfillment. That's a little bit more vague, and we get some more information there about Hitchcock and his wife, Alma Hitchcock, who was his assistant throughout almost all of his career. And then the last category, which is called Height. Interesting category because, of course, Hitchcock put some of his most amazing sequences in his films at very high places. Vertigo is a very important example. The movie Saboteur is another example with a sensational ending on the top of the Statue of Liberty, and so forth and so on. So those are the categories. And the movie sort of ranges around among Hitchcock's films from all different periods back in his silent movie days right up through his very late films, but always discussing them thematically in terms of the different thematic and narrative categories. Now, the big hesitation I have about My Name is Alfred Hitchcock, the thing I like least about it, is signaled by the title, My Name is Alfred Hitchcock. The whole movie is narrated by Alistair McGowan, and he is always pretending to be Alfred Hitchcock. And in fact, at the very beginning of the movie, it says that the movie is written and voiced by Alfred Hitchcock. Well, that is not true. And at the very end of the film, the movie finally reveals that no, we have not been listening to Alfred Hitchcock. And in fact, if you're paying attention, you'll realize that one of the first things that the Alfred Hitchcock voice says at the beginning of the film is something about since I died. So obviously, this is not the real Alfred Hitchcock. This movie is not being narrated through a Ouija board by a dead filmmaker. But it is all done through an imitation of Alfred Hitchcock's voice. And it sounds reasonably like Alfred Hitchcock. Hitchcock's image, his face, his body were hugely famous during his career and during his lifetime, partly because he marketed them. That was part of his trademark. And he had a weekly television show for quite a while in which he personally introduced every episode. So people back then certainly knew his face and his body and his voice, because his voice was all over the place as well in his TV show and elsewhere, often in the promotion for his movies. So I never really thought this sounded exactly like Alfred Hitchcock's voice, but it sounds pretty much like Alfred Hitchcock's voice. I could have done without this gimmick, this idea of pretending that the movie is actually being narrated by Hitchcock himself. It isn't. But that gimmick aside, I found it to be a fun and sometimes interesting tour through the different themes of Hitchcock's many films. And on that basis, I really recommend it to people. You'll have a good time. If you usually only think of movies in terms of the plot and the stars and things like that, here Hitchcock gets into the themes, the things that are being explored through these movies, and that is one of the most important things about them. Hitchcock was a very great thinker about cinema as well as a filmmaker, and this movie really signals that and highlights that, and it is very welcome to me, at least in that regard. So I recommend My Name is Alfred Hitchcock. That's not my name, but that's my story this week.
For which we thank you as ever and always, David Sterrett, Films in Focus, the films Juror Number 2, A Real Pain, and My Name is Alfred Hitchcock.
Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.